It's the Bad Advice Show.
Go on and do it. Hey, everybody. Hey, good night. Good afternoon. Good morning. It is the Bad Advice Show, and I am one of your three illustrious hosts. I'm Gordon Baker Bone, always officiating the Bad Advice Show. And to my left, he is the man that will get you a boutonniere for your school dance. Put your hands together for Jerome Russell, everybody.
I don't even know what the hell a boutonniere is, but yeah, I'll get it for you.
To my right, she's the lady that will make sure your child wears stockings to her dance. Put your hands together for Mel, everybody.
If you believe that, you know nothing of my work. But because I am the president of the Southern Women Against Slips Coalition.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you guys had a coalition.
Also known as SWAP.
SWAP, okay.
And a boutonniere is the thing, it's the thing that goes on the lapel for, and it's usually like boys at the prom wear, right?
Yeah,
boys
yeah,
at the prom,
yeah.
Groomsmen, like the little flowery thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
He lost that too.
I got stabbed.
You got this weekend?
No, not this weekend. Like when I went to my high school dance, the one I broke into, the girl, I can't say her name. I'll just say MP. That's her initials. She was so cute. She was a gymnast, very nice. And I asked her to homecoming with only one ticket. And she went to go put my boutonniere on in front of my mom and dad. And it comes like with a pen.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that. And she got a little bit of the nipple. And I had to act like it didn't hurt.
Good lesson for you as a young man. Keeping a poker face in the face of danger.
She damn near pierced my nipple. Imagine if I took off my jacket and just revealed just one bleeding nipple.
Yeah. I think your mama would have made you stay home. Like, oh no, this ain't good.
Oh, no, nah, she probably boy, told me just.
Boy, this boy got a hole in his nipple.
Did I ever tell y'all about. Did I ever tell you about the time I closed my nipple in a door?
What?
I was in the most awkward position, and it was like in the, not the front part of the door, but you know, like the back door. And I was like clearly I was doing something weird. Like, I think I was trying to like get the cat in the door, because at that point she was a dasher, and yeah, hurt.
You got
a lot.
Nipple cord in the door.
Took some skin off.
Mm. Wow.
Rough times. Rough times.
You shut the door?
Well, it didn't shut all the way.
There was a nipple.
That happened
there.
To my favorite one, too. That was a problem.
Ooh. Oh, out of man. Commission.
Done. We were on a break.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting conversation to have down at emergency care.
I promise you, I took care of it myself, because there was no way. Like, and part of it was because I had no idea how I was going to explain how this happened. Like, if it would have gotten serious, I would have gone in, but like, it was hurts a lot. Like, the pain went to my back, my nigga.
You would have had to recreate it in a doctor's office just to get them to see,
just to get them to understand
what happened to you.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad.
Oh, man. It, nothing says that you are of a certain age, like your problems with a door. I believe once you turn 30, it's inevitable that you're going to get like one of your pants loops hooked on a door or something like that.
And I don't think it's all that uncommon for middle-aged ladies to have breast and nipple mishaps where they just like... Because like your 20 and 30 year old titty, they didn't even go those places. They just stayed right where they were supposed to be. I didn't know that my titty was gonna go rogue in fucking door frame.
They avoid doors.
And now, like, it's a very cautious lesson.
I live in New Jersey and New York. I wonder if anyone's ever got their boob caught in a subway door.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm sure. I close doors very differently now.
I mean, it's in the back of your head for forever.
It's always there.
Mm.
The chances of a nipple injury may be low, but they are obviously never zero.
Yeah.
Man, now I'm thinking about it. There's certain things that like I don't want to ever happen again. Like when I was younger, I remember slide tackling in soccer or diving headfirst for a base in baseball. And now that I'm of a certain age, I'm more concerned about like if I slid into second base, like on my chest, that like something might bad happen to my peenie.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, that's why they play in cups, because ain't no way. I'm coming in 90 miles an hour in second base. I got slide on my penis? No. That's the out. It's a guaranteed out. Like, Sarom doesn't leg it for doubles. No, he doesn't.
Oh, man.
That is something I've never thought about, much like you've probably never thought about getting your nipple caught in the door.
Yeah. No.
We're all learning things about each other today.
Yeah, we are. First piece of bad advice. put one of your if you're over 30, put one of your body parts in danger. This summer coming up, you slide down that slip and slide like you're still 13. Go ahead, see what happens.
Boy, that's gonna be a painful and slippery death for you.
Oh man,
you're gonna hit a lot harder than you think you're gonna hit.
Yeah. You're gonna hit a lot harder. And then like people think it's fun to slide on the grass after a slip and slide, forgetting that grass will cut your ass up. I learned that the hard way.
Have you ever had a grass cut?
Yes.
Hurts.
Does it's like and it stings.
It's like it's salt on the grass already.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way at Tommy's barbecue when he brought out the huge slip and slide for all his guests to get drunk and take shots and slip and slide. And let me tell you, you should not have 40 people over the age of 30 slipping and sliding and drinking. A lot of grass burn.
A lot of grass burn. I would have stood up after that third slide and like, hey, can we just fuck? Because this is stupid.
It sounds like everybody got what they deserved.
Yeah. Y'all put that on yourselves.
Y'all had the evening you deserved.
Yeah. It was a lot of dish soap. And then when I started drying up, people was like, just get the Tide. And they started throwing dish detergent. It was a dumb, we were drinking way too much.
Yeah, I was looking for lubricants and trying to make it easier. And it wasn't meant to be.
Why were you using dish soap? Can you help me with that?
Oh, because it's slippery.
So you use dish soap to make the slip and slide on the grass more slippery, to go faster, to accelerate yourself so that once the slip and slide is over, you just sliding across grass.
Well, we didn't think that far.
Yeah, I know. I know.
They didn't think past the end of that slip and slide.
Yeah. And it is obvious.
Yo, Mel, can you picture Gordon going by about 30, 40 miles an hour and going across the grass into the fence?
I imagine him like that big Frida video. Yeah. No!
Oh, man.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Yeah, we were determined to have fun with all this alcohol. And it, like, I don't think anyone went to work the next day.
No.
People had grass burns. People were hungover. It wasn't good. It was not a good thing.
I met Manny Fresh last night.
What?
I met Manny Fresh last night. Speaking of old people doing too much, I was out. Ooh, I was out in double digits. Y'all know I don't do that.
Oh, man.
But no, there was a Prince celebration at Tipitina's, and Manny Fresh was right there by the stage. And I was right there by the stage because, you know, I always want to be in the mix. I'm like, I actually spoke to him. He was really nice. He was really cool.
Did he say that's gator cool boots shit to you?
He did not say gator boots, but I don't think the conversation called for it. So that's probably why.
Let me ask a question. This is probably Louisiana state law. Or maybe it's by parish. Are you required to show Manny Fresh your best twerk when y'all meet?
I did not. So I don't think I don't think it's a requirement.
Okay. I just feel like, you know.
Man, you don't.
I think it is a. I think it's more of an offering than an ordinance.
Oh, okay, I get you. That makes more sense. Like you don't have to curse it to the royals in Britain, but it's there.
Right.
I can't shake the thought of Manny Fresh introducing himself to Mel, just going fresh.
I love the way that you would frame it as Manny Fresh introducing himself to me and not me introducing myself to Manny Fresh. Thank you for loving me like that.
Yeah.
It's my world. This is the way I like it.
I know I would embarrass the entire Bad Advice show by saying, as soon as I said, saw Manny Fresh, like, man, it's nice to meet you. Oh, by the way, they bad, they done land.
You wouldn't embarrass the Bad Advice show because it wouldn't have been no show after that.
Ooh, man.
And that was the last time you'll hear Saram on this show.
Oh, man. Now I'm just thinking about people I want to meet and just have them say their catchphrase to me. Like, I'm thinking about meeting Jazzy Faye. And he just go, ladies and gentlemen.
I dance.
You would just start shoulder shaking?
Yeah, I would have to. He did it. He did the phrase.
That's fair.
Oh, wait. I didn't ever tell you all that. The reason I'm like that is because it's all because of Jada Kiss. For those that don't know, early in my comedy career, when I was just starting out, I got a writing job for MTV, and I was writing for Your Mama. And I wrote for a couple of characters. One of my characters was a white kid named Cutlass. That was his stage name in the thing. And he was doing most of the jokes. And then in the finals, he had to, like, who was there? Jadakiss was there. And he laughed at one of the jokes I wrote. And he actually did the, and I was melted my heart.
That would have made me swell with pride.
Oh, man.
Remember where I was in Brooklyn by the pier, and he just and one of my jokes, I was like, thank you. I didn't know I needed that.
But you did, though.
Was that one of the most validating moments in your career?
Of my career, like, yeah. Yeah. I don't that and being on stage for 30 minutes with Sinbad talking about New Jersey. And like places that I didn't think he knew. Yo, he just is an almanac of hoods. He knows everything.
He's been everywhere.
Yeah.
We're looking at a 50-year career.
And drinking with George Lopez. What a night that was.
Mm.
We drank till 6 a.m.
You shot the shit with Sinbad and George Lopez?
Yeah.
And nigga, you talking to us?
Different nights. It was different nights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, hey, man, I would have been holding them by the suit lapels. Like, don't send me back to my regular life. Please, please, I can't go back.
Yo.
That's the thing about meeting, like, a mega celebrity. It's like, I'm just supposed to go and be regular after this?
Yeah, it's pretty hard the next day.
That's crazy.
Generally because you're, like, pretty drunk. But, yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, getting relationship and love advice from George Lopez is one of the weirdest things that, yeah, that's the first piece of bad advice. If you're going through a heartbreak, drink a case of tequila with George Lopez and just listen. That's Mr. funny. Lopez, I can't do none of this shit.
He's all bad advice?
Oh, he's all bad advice.
I mean, honestly, most funny people are.
Yeah.
Like, we learn the ways to navigate society, and we learn how certain things are unacceptable and all of that. But at our core, terrible people with terrible ideas.
Speaking of terrible people, Skip Bayless will be looking for a new co-anchor or co-chair. What do you call that position that sits across from Skip Bayless and you have to listen to him spew nonsense?
A co-hollerer?
Skip Bayless should have been looking for that since December when they had that dust up about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That was in December. That was the end of that show. As we knew it.
Yeah. I watched because the Hall of Fame.
All the shit Skip had said over the years, you could tell that A, really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And B was just, it showed a level of professional disrespect. Like, I can't fuck with you like that.
Yeah. It wasn't even said in jest. It wasn't like mocking. He was like, what'd he tell him to sit down?
Yeah, he was wilding.
Yeah. Mm. I think Skip forgets that just because Shannon's sitting, that he is a Hall of Fame tight end that runs through people from the backwoods of Georgia.
I think so too. I bet Skip got it in his contract. Like, who's that used to do that? Bill, but make his chair higher than your chair.
Yeah, they. I think a lot of anchors do that now. So like, they all look level and not imposing on other anchors that they have sitting in the head seat. So they try to keep everyone at even point because Shaq towers over Ernie, but they all look eye to eye for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shaq is actually sitting on a milk crate.
One of them little elementary school chairs.
It's solid. It's solid plastic, so it won't collapse, but he's sitting on a tiny desk writing with a fat pencil.
Shaq has his own line of office chairs, and I think they're nice.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, for the big and tall.
Ooh, I need one.
Yeah.
I like that Shaq has a business in everything.
Oh, yeah. Shaq can buy that money.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be a lot of things, but he's not going to be broke.
Yeah.
Brought up Skip because I wanted to ask y'all this question. I like to put y'all in scenarios like that. If you had to be Cole Hollerer with Skip Bayless, how long do you think you could last at that job before you snapped?
It's funny that you think I would make it past the interview process.
I believe Mel would have been there and they're like, let me see Skip. Let him say it to my face first. Before we even get the cameras
before let's get it out.
Let's get it out before the cameras start rolling. Damn, come on. You got to at least make it to rolling on film.
I'm not making it. I'm not making it. Like, first of all, Skip, I just need you to know I have issues and I will smack the shit out of you.
I might make it back from that first commercial, but he's going to be in the full Nelson when we come back.
Because he's so disrespectful. Like, it was in the optics of Skip Bayless is an ass, but he's not blind. He's not oblivious. Yeah. And he knows what the optics are of him telling a big grown ass black man that he offended, genuinely offended, sit down the way he did. Like, and he should have been looking for somebody new then. They should have handled this rollout better because that was done.
Yeah.
And anybody with eyeballs, you know, who's paying attention saw it.
Yeah. Me personally, I don't think I think I'll make it past the first paycheck. And then, like, I will realize that a grown man named Skip is yelling at me. And I'll be like, can't lay like this.
Y'all know I walked out of job the day of for somebody talking to me crazy. So,
yeah,
that's just like, that's a non-starter for me.
Nah, I just want to do it long enough to get a severance package and then be like, oh, fuck it.
Nope.
Gordon will quit on your ass. I don't know if any potential employees out there listening. Gordon's out of there.
It would be magnificent too, because I would just walk out. He would say something to me, and I'm like, nope. I wouldn't even say nope. I'm just, the chair would be spinning as I walk away. Oh man. Speaking of sports, we're smack in the middle of the finals.
Game two is happening as we record.
That's right. And as we recording, I don't know what's going on, but hopefully Jimmy's out there. Jimmy is out there doing his thing. And that European guy, they can slow him down. So
Yeah.
I'm the score right now in the third quarter, the score is 62-64, which is much closer than whatever they had happening
In their
in
first
game
game.
one.
I think the Heat were just tired, and plus they had to adjust to the air. I think
Yeah.
everybody that goes to Denver needs to at least a good day or two. I
You
remember when I
do.
went up there. Oof.
Yeah.
I'm black with asthma up there. It was not no fun.
Yeah. I went to Colorado Springs and told myself, well, I'm gonna walk down to the store and get me some beer. And halfway back, I had to sit down with the beer and was like, this might be it for me. I cracked
Don't.
one. I was like, let me get this last swig in because it's it. I was walking on gravel too. That shit was slippery. I was like, my vision was going in and out. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Bro.
You have to drink a lot more water up there.
Oh, yeah. Good
Like
point.
a lot more water. Because at one point in time, I was considering relocating to Denver. And so, you
Okay.
know, I'm a researching ass motherfucker.
All right.
And yeah,
You
that's
know
one of the
what?
things that you have to do, increase your water. That's one of the first things they said, increase your water intake. So
Yeah,
we
you got
stay
to
up there.
increase everything that keeps you alive up there.
Yeah.
True. And you got to be you if you if you're going to fuck up in Denver, you take your time. Bring your inhaler. Bring an air tank.
Boy,
Want best for you. I don't want you passing out.
Gordon was up there doing the floppy seal stroke. That's one where you lay down on your belly and
I'm familiar with what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Everybody knows what
dude.
floppy seal.
I wasn't too far off. It looked like I was snorkeling because I had my inhaler in my mouth, but still going at it.
The epitome of a nigga not knowing when to stop. You fucking with an inhaler in your mouth. Nigga, God has given you the sign to quit.
Hashtag bad advice show. Would you have sex with someone while they had an inhaler in their mouth?
So somebody did.
Somebody did that.
Yep. She even asked if you could push the button. I was like, go ahead.
A team player.
This nigga out here with 17 cubic feet of butyrol in his lung. I know you were strung out.
Yes, I was. Whew, man, what a night.
I know your pupils dilated like a motherfucker. His eyes look all black like a shark and
Oh man, you know people believe that inhalers give you extra strength. So like girls used to think that if I used an inhaler during sex that it meant more pleasure.
and not that you just weren't trying to die.
Yeah.
It was like a Reebok pump. No, bro.
No, bro. I am in danger here. She saw that one time that pump. She's like, oh, he finna blow this back out.
Whole
Thought it was
time he's
a
doing measured strokes, taking slip, taking snip. I can't talk.
What is going on
Taking
with you?
sips of air like Danny Aiello in Harlem Nights.
Yep. Oh man, what a classic film. What a classic film. What else do we have going on? So Rome, we were talking who were we talking about? You got someone some cufflinks, right?
Yeah, I got Boogie some cufflinks. If you hadn't seen the pictures, my oldest son went to his first formal dance, and I was worried that, I was like, I wonder if he's gonna have fun. He was going by himself. Is he gonna? I'm like, is he shy like me? Is he gonna come out of his shell? Apparently, Boogie ain't got no shell.
What you mean?
Boogie's soft shell like a log, like a leatherhead turtle. Like he came into the dance and immediately cut a rug.
Oh, I think like dances now are probably way more fun than ours, because I envision more like synchronized dancing with TikTok dances.
Oh,
people
yeah.
filming you, like that just seems like a good time. Fill
yeah,
the
you
time.
Don't use, you don't lose your clip. Why can't I fucking talk today?
I don't know.
I'm not high. I am not drunk. I just can't talk.
Oh, that's weird. Wow. That's your first mistake.
You don't you don't lose your cufflinks doing TikTok dances.
Oh, nah, he was out there cutting the rug. I just want to rock, 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 rock.
You're not losing your cufflinks to that old regular stuff.
I don't know. That little Uzi Bird dance, that's a little, it's a lot, it's real animated.
It's animated. I'm pretty sure my boy Boogie was out there sturdy with it. He came out, he had his jacket off, his sleeve was flapping in the air. I was like, what the hell?
Boogie had a time last night.
It's your mistake for expecting anything else from a child you call Boogie.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah, he took it to heart.
In the womb, she was dancing with him, and I gave him that name, and he lived up to it.
Wow, it's funny you bring up wombs. I wanted to bring up something I saw recently. Krayshawn was recently seen and filmed in Philadelphia at a nightclub dancing, and I know what you're saying, Gordon. What's the problem with that? I believe she's in her second trimester.
What city was she in?
Philadelphia, where there are no rules.
If you're going to be pregnant in the club, Philly is probably the place. I don't know. Like, pregnancy is just different now.
Yeah, I'm realizing that.
Pregnancy is different now. First of all, you, like, when you were pregnant, you at least typically expected to be with your baby daddy till, I don't know, the end of the pregnancy. And that's kind of a crapshoot. Like,
I got no.
And then, I mean, it's like there's just a pregnancy and postpartum, because we see babies out a lot sooner, too.
Yes.
You know, you used to have that baby locked up like the Ark of the Covenant until they was like 2 months old. And now.
That baby be out there loose neck with that fresh smell on.
Oh, yeah. They be having, look, the skin still be peeling off. You in Old Navy.
You know, Old Navy, like, what are you doing in here? That baby still got that amniotic fluid smell to him.
What?
It's just different. It's a different expectation of pregnancy, of women, of whatever, you know.
They used to lock women up when they were pregnant back in the day, because it was a scary time, because racial malpractice and medicine and shit. You had to stand on your toes just to make it through the pregnancy. But so, and I got no qualms about her being pregnant in the club, because my mama was pregnant with me in the club and I turned out fine.
I feel like the silence is shade right now, and we got to say something.
Yeah, I feel
something.
Like it is too.
No.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's cool.
I feel like we was quiet for too long.
Oh man, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe because I ain't got no kids, and I'm sensitive about stuff like that. I don't know if sensitive is the right word, but I just like to picture myself in a business position going, all right, she could come in, but no bottle service.
It is like that's secondhand smoke. She's cool.
I mean, I don't know if being in a club is any more dangerous than being in the Chili's on a Friday night.
Yeah.
So.
Shit, if you ever been to a Chili's and Bowie on Friday night, you're in the same place.
If you could walk across that greasy ass floor in Cheesecake Factory pregnant, you could go to the club.
Why is that floor so greasy?
Why is it so greasy?
Yo, I've been in the Cheesecake Factory before, and you ask where the bathroom is, and you go and you cut that corner too soon. You're like, what the fuck that just happened? Why am I on the floor?
And now you done peed yourself.
And every door weighs a billion pounds. I just ate a cheesecake, man. I can't open this damn door.
I just ate six different variations of a New York cheesecake, and this door is like, what the fuck is this Game of Thrones shit y'all got going on here?
Let me tell you, boy, that key lime cheesecake, that's a hit the stick like grits.
Okay.
It is. You got to go somewhere and sit down after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just gotta sit with your thoughts.
I'm very impartial to strawberry cheesecake. I don't know why.
It works. It just works. Strawberries and dairy work.
Yeah.
I can't put words together tonight. I'm sorry, y'all.
That's fine. That's a staple of the cheesecake community, of the dessert community. Yeah. Strawberry cheesecake.
Strawberry and cherry.
Yes.
But even think about it, when you have like cheese trays,
yeah,
strawberries are right there.
Like one of them charcuterie boards.
Mm-hmm.
However you say it. Shark coochie.
I put together a little snack board last night to celebrate my evening out and meeting one of my heroes.
Oh, you had a Mandy Fresh board.
I had a Mandy Fresh board, yeah. It was a smoked Moody Blue cheese, some Gruyere, fancy olives.
Oh, he would have approved of the olives.
He would have. Yeah. Very, very opulent.
Wow,
shit.
I could really picture Mandy Fresh just eating olives.
I could,
making
too.
Beets.
I could picture him with a martini and about 3-4 olives on the toothpick. Eat them one at a time.
I can see him saying, "Ain't no artichokes for this salad." I just feel like he won a salad with artichokes.
Comedy has spoiled me. Like, I go in a hotel rooms and they having like charcuterie boards and cheese plates and fresh fruits. I'm like, I told jokes to get that on. I done made it.
Working with attorneys spoiled me.
Okay.
I have an incredibly expensive just baseline taste. Like yesterday, I saw this purse on, it was Fat Kid Deals, I think. And I saw this purse, and I'm like, oh, that purse is cute. I might have to. It was a fucking Hermes. It was like a $16,000, I guess, Birkin or whatever. Yeah, of course. I guess I would like that shit.
Fat Kid Deals, shout out to him. Or them. I don't know who this person is. I want to know, but I don't want to know because I'm scared that it's going to turn out to be like Last Dragon. I pull it away and it's just a machine.
It's a couple of guys. There was a couple, maybe a year or two ago, there was a little write up on them. It was a couple of guys and they're pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. They're exactly the type of dudes that you would expect to do something dope like that. No.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel better.
Fat Kid Deals.
That makes me feel better.
If I see a basic white shirt that I like, if I see a basic white button down, I can guarantee you that shirt is going to cost like $250.
Oh, let me tell you something right now. Fat Kid Deals, I'm sorry to get deviated from the other topics, but like the jeans go so quick on Fat Kid Deals. As soon as I see it, it could be only up for 1 minute and you go to buy, they're all gone.
I like Fat Kid Deals.
Wow, Mel.
Did you say that big deal?
Also that. I like Fat Kid Deals for pillows.
Okay. Man, look at us internet shopping. Oh, do you guys even still go to the stores to buy
yes.
clothes?
Yes.
Okay.
I go because I like being disappointed in public.
I go because I like making friends at the store. Like, I go to Sephora. Like, I could easily shop on Sephora, but I like to go to Sephora on South Peters because everybody there is so nice.
Hey, Mel, be careful. There's going to be somebody waiting for you at Sephora's on South Peters now. One of the Bad Advice Show fans.
I doubt that, but...
No, we got New Orleans listeners.
I mean, we definitely have New Orleans listeners. I don't think they'll be waiting for me.
Oh,
but if I can tell, and they don't know when I'm going. I never tell people when I'm going to a place. I never talk about being outside until after I'm back inside.
We just thinking ahead proactively and saying that, you know, we're trying to avoid the Haitian nigga with the sandals on waiting to talk to you.
Haitian men do not like me.
No?
Jamaicans do, but Haitian men do not like me.
Okay. The Haitian men are like, well, she ain't gonna fall for tricks.
So for me, it's like Jamaican, Guyanese, Trinidadian, Those are my big three.
Okay. I like that Mel got a big three. Like
I
Ice
have
Cube.
A big West Indian three.
Oh my God. Mel, you had a topic that you wanted to bring up today. What was that?
I want you niggas to leave kids alone. Across the board. Like, of course, we, if you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, you saw the whole situation with the rapper Chica, who was talking about the babies crying on a plane and calling them bastards and saying she hoped the lady choked and like blaming it on mental health and it's just a lot of it was some really ugly shit. And that's not the only time that she's said ugly things specifically about parents and kids. Like, she's kind of done some weird shit before. That's kind of her go-to, and that's her deal, that's her drama.
Okay.
But also, like, even just some of the commentary we saw around something as simple as like Blue Ivy being on the Renaissance tour and critiquing her dance, and like, y'all don't, the other thing, what is that, Charlene, the character, the social media character, she puts on the wig, she talks like, she dresses up like the old lady, old church lady, whatever.
Yeah.
So that she was critiquing kids' prom looks. What? I need y'all to understand that y'all are losers. Flat out. Like, I'm fed up with it. Y'all, they're kids.
Fair enough. I'm with you.
Like,
on that one.
y'all are fucking losers. And it's one thing to see something and it not be in your taste. But were our styles and our parents' taste? Like, this is not for you. This is for them to be young and dress like young people and be like, and is it sometimes a little tacky? Yeah, probably, because they're fucking kids.
I mean, who wasn't a tacky kid? Am I
like,
right?
It's totally unreasonable to expect Blue Ivy to dance like Beyonce.
Man,
it's totally,
man.
And a lot of y'all are critiquing this young woman, this young, not young woman, young girl, for something that you will never do. You will never even have this opportunity.
Stop reminding them, Mel.
And y'all are losers. And I'm sorry if there are things, or when there are things that have contributed to that. Like, for example, Chica has dealt with a lot as a, you know, a dark skinned woman, a mask presenting woman, a fat woman. Like, all of those things come into play. There are a lot of people, there are people who go through that and they see that as an opportunity to be kinder. I don't want what happened to me to happen to you. I'm not going to be this person.
That's
then there are people who go through that and they want their lick back.
That's sad and lame.
And I'm
only saying that because I know how I was as a young child that just freshly left a Catholic school that was monitored by his mother for 8 years and finally got to pick my own clothes. Ooh, I'm glad that there was no Twitter back then.
And kids can tell. Kids can tell when you don't mean them well. Kids can tell when you have a nasty attitude toward them, you know?
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I don't do it. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about my favorite outfit when I was in high school, my freshman year. I had a 2x too large. I probably had a 2X Mecca canary yellow t-shirt with matching canary yellow Air Force Ones. And I wore my soccer socks that went up to my knee while I was wearing shorts, khaki shorts.
Boy, you look stiff.
I'm not going to talk about you, friend.
Thank you.
That is vintage Gordon right there. That's a Gordon ass outfit right there.
I'm gonna let you rock.
And I'm a so young Southern gentleman. I'm a young Southern gentleman, so I had neon green. There was a neon green phase, or just neon color phase, in the South that I really latched on to.
I just couldn't dress. It don't even matter.
Yeah.
See, like I liked it, but I've never been somebody, I've always been somebody who dresses because I like something.
Yeah.
Not so much, I wouldn't necessarily think of the whole aesthetic layout of the outfit. I like these shirts. I like this pant. I like this shirt. I like these pants. This is what I'm wearing. Will the shirt and the pants go together as an outfit? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but I was also a fucking kid, you know?
You know
all
what
I'm saying is, give grace. The kids, leave them alone.
And they're children. And it's not unreasonable for kids to be off limits.
Not unreasonable.
And it also, I'm sorry, if you can fucking afford a first class ticket, you can afford a therapist. The same way you got on Twitter to do that, you could have emailed your fucking therapist.
Yeah. And also, if you're in first class without AirPods or headphones, what are you doing? What are you doing? You want to listen to the engine? Like, what is your problem?
And there are also things. Well, she insists that she could hear them through her noise canceling headphones. And I just don't believe that you got real deal noise canceling headphones.
No.
You know?
She clearly also, don't have Bose.
Also, there's the whole thing of you're in first class, so you feel like you shouldn't be able to be disturbed, like hear noises. Like, come on. And the whole sin, you know, telling her she could have gone on economy. What the fuck do y'all be talking about? And the thing with her specifically, and I'm sure a lot of people have piled on her, but the thing about her specifically is that her language definitely leaned into anti-blackness. Like, without her specifying, we knew she was talking about black children. We knew she was talking about a black woman.
That's messed up. I don't like this. Mm-mm.
Well, it turns out that the person she was talking about, the kids she was talking about, one of them was T.I. and Tiny's granddaughter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want no smoke with them.
And so it's been like, there have been comments, you know, I think Tiny made a comment. I don't think T.I. said anything, but her sister, because it was Zonique's daughter, but her sister Deja actually spoke on it a little bit and was just like, yeah, I deal with mental health issues, I deal with ideation, I deal with all of these things, and I'm not that. Like, these are things that you could have done and you didn't do any of that, and you're not taking accountability.
This is one of the few moments I'm very happy that I can't do impersonations, because I was trying to think of what T.I. would have said.
I'm so glad you didn't. I mean, you could just imitate Oswald Bates and it's the same thing, but like Oswald Bates with an Atlanta accent.
Oh, man, leave these kids alone.
You know, leave them alone.
Yeah, man, especially ones that's just trying to clear their books and get back to the black, you know.
Wait, what is this? Is this a gambling reference? Is that Nisa in trouble?
No, she's good. I gotta buy her some sneakers. Yeah, told her not to.
Wait, are you good? You better come up with that sneaker money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Better.
It's not sounding safe for you, homie.
It's never good when you see your knees call and you look at your phone like, oh no.
It is not sounding safe.
Oh, that's funny, Uncle Silk. I thought I said to have my sneakers by Friday. Here it is Tuesday. But she gonna beat you up like Stuart beat up Brian.
Where my sneakers?
Where's my sneakers, man? You're making a fool out of me on Silk.
Yeah, I better come up with both them kicks. Okay.
You got money for microphones, but you can't give me no sneakers?
Okay, that's how I make my money. Oh, just give me a week. Give me a week.
You got 48 hours.
Oh my God. Ugh. Oh, the infamous Father's Day is coming up, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
Yep. And here on the Bad Advice Show, we appreciate fathers. I appreciate especially fathers of color, because I know how strange it could be as a father of color. No, I don't. I imagine. I imagine this is a strenuous job. And here's my first piece of kind of bad advice. please don't just get the man that's in your life, just some mundane, regular, whatever. Like, everyone just gets him a tie, socks. Eh, I guess there sometimes that could be cool, but, you know, put some effort into it. Think about what he would really appreciate.
And I just want to use the crowd. TV for an hour.
I can't tell Cerrone? You jack shit about keeping a nigga happy, so I'm going to leave that to Cerrone. That is not my wheelhouse.
All right, come on, let's throw out some bad Father's Day gift ideas. All right, get the father in your life a case of whatever liquid courage he likes the most, whether it's scotch, whether it's beer, and then just sit down and let him ramble.
I mean, it's pride, so a little ice mold shaped like dicks, that might be nice.
Wait, what?
What? Can niggas be fathers too?
Well, yeah.
That's true.
I'm just thinking about myself and what I would like. Like I said, I want the TV for an hour. That's about it. TV and titties.
He giving real answers. And we giving bad ideas.
You know someone's out there. Somebody's out there like,
Cerrone, like, I just want to sleep.
I know there's someone out there like, hey, can you watch the kids? It's Father's Day. What? Yeah, I'm going to hand them a remote and fuck them for a half an hour. So,
and you know what? 98% of niggas will be okay with that. You mean, hold on a minute. You mean I get to watch a little anime and get the bust nut?
You sound like everyone at a Comic-Con at an anime convention.
Yo,
shout out to all the black folk out there doing cosplay. I thoroughly enjoy seeing y'all show off your artistic sides.
It makes me very happy.
Yeah, man.
I like when y'all do cosplay and you have nice butts.
Yeah. It's sexy flexy. It's a good look.
I think, and I don't think that should limit anybody from doing cosplay. I'm just saying that gives me a little extra oomph.
Yeah, yeah.
When I see it.
I started following this this one lady that does anime cosplay, and she has like a million katanas, apparently.
Oh, yeah, they'll cut you.
Yeah, yeah. I always find it cool when I see black women with katanas.
Like Mel.
They're fun to have, but the funny thing is, like, the worst thing about having a katana is when men come over to your house.
Yeah,
my katana lives in peace the majority of the year until niggas come over.
Oh, that's
right,
so
now,
true.
My katana is at my brother's house, and I am living in terror because it's two grown niggas separated from their wives with a sharp object that I know them niggas are swinging around.
Yeah, they in there drinking in the backyard, just doing ninja moves.
It is 1986 all over again. They back there rolling around on the grass with the shit and slicing in imaginary ninjas.
Terrifying. They can't not swing it.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that? Wait, in what sense are you saying that?
Look at Tana, nigga.
All right. Well, we want to thank y'all for joining us on the Bad Advice Show. This has been so wonderful to be around my friends again.
Yep.
And it is our second to last episode of season 5.
That's right, y'all.
We're taking a break for the summer.
Yeah, we need a little bit of break so we can recharge and come back with more nonsense stories. That's right. We're going to take
live
a little...
the life so we can share with you.
Exactly.
So that means throughout the summer, we are going to be hitting you with that archival heat. That's right. You are going to, if you are new to us, you're going to hear some episodes that you have never heard before. And if you're not new, you're going to hear some joints that are going to make you wonder, why are these niggas still friends?
Yes. So we're gonna be hitting archive, and I might do like every once in a while, I might hit y'all with a period piece. For those who don't know what period piece is, it's where I gather my friends and I listen to their stories about their menstruations. And it's a fun time for everybody. It literally is.
Which now reminds me that we let this whole episode go and we did not discuss Scooch Grease.
Real quick, let's do it.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't
Did
see
you
it.
see,
What
there was
happened?
a, it was like a little news link talking about how there are men who wear maxi pads, and we're not talking about the men who menstruate. We are talking about cis men who use maxi pads to soak up their gooch grease.
No, N Rit, would that work?
Gordon, if you don't wash your balls, I'm gonna beat your ass.
Not saying I'm gonna do it, but I'm just like, hold on, let's hear him out.
This is my Shannon Sharp moment.
Oh my God, I did not know that. Okay. You know what? Let's save that for our other podcast, that other thing.
So,
Because that's
for
right,
our
everyone.
final episode of the season, we are
Yes.
going to have a special guest,
Yes.
one of your faves, and you'll be
Yes.
seeing us around at the Thither and Yon doing things. I'm going to be working on a lot of projects, so you can follow me at the Gates of Mal. The O is a zero all over the place. And that's where you will see my projects, my clients' projects. Shout out to my friends over at the Appraise the Phrase podcast. They're doing a big launch this summer. I am actually working with them. I am writing show intros for Appraise the Phrase. I'm so excited to be working with them. I'm so excited to be working with the team. They've got a lot of great podcasts in their partnership circle. What We Watch is a really great one with Miss Peacherino, Angry Black Woman, Etymology Rules, which is going to be great for the children. Highly recommend that if you're not following them, follow them at ATP Pod. I think that ATP Pod. On Twitter, or you could just look up Appraise the Phrase. Great folks, and I'm excited, and you should be excited too.
Oh, and as for you, Sarome, where can people find you?
Noah.
Nigga.
No. I'm taking a writing break, but
Okay.
I'll be at DC Improv July 20, I think it's July 27th through the 29th. But I'll be in a Kumite XL contest, and you can catch me there for July.
You do that every year, don't you?
Not every year, but I win it every time I'm in it.
That's why they call it, that's why they call it the XL. And you can find him at Sarome Russell on Twitter and MetaRome on Instagram. And as for me, June 18th at the Bell House, me and my boy Brandon Collins are going to have yet again another Juneteenth Drunk Black History. Tickets all available. Now I'm catching with Mel Hat are available
Right,
at
sorry.
drunkblackhistory.com. And as for me, I'm at Baker Bone on Instagram and Twitter. You can find my other podcasts, That Other Thing, at our Patreon. That Other Thing, Bad Advice, patreon.com/Bad Advice Show. Hashtag Bad Advice Show. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like. We're going to have some fun, y'all. So
Absolutely. Oh, just a
definitely.
correction. Appraise the Phrase is the ATP show. On
Okay. All
Twitter, well, on everywhere.
right. And with that being said, make sure you do not get your father gooch pads. Thank you guys for listening.
Damn it.
Appropriate.